Welcome back, everyone, to the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm with my co-host, Amanda Lorenz. I'm Jenna Becerra, and today's episode is brought to us by our friends at S2 Cognition. S2 Cognition delivers a revolutionary approach to helping athletes understand how in-game decisions impact their performance from the youth levels all the way to the pros. I'm so excited to see you again, Amanda. It feels like it's been forever, even though it's only been a couple weeks.
It really does feel like that. And so much has happened.
I know. I feel like we say that every week, but even more so this time, because we've had some time before since you and I got to chat, I guess, about
absolutely.
Everything.
Yes.
Yes. So today's lineup, same as what we've been looking at. Top 25 rankings discussion. We'll talk about some matchups, you know, recap of what we liked, what we saw, and what's coming up as well. And then plays of the week and the win and whiff of the week. So lots to come in this one.
Yes.
All right. Let's go ahead and just start off with the top 25. Changes as always, right? Like, I feel like every week we're like, oh, there's going to be some mixing it up this coming week after some things that happen. But I feel like, you know, once again, we're in that boat.
Yes. Very, very exciting. Big week, for college softball. Definitely some changes at 2, which is crazy. I think that Texas Oklahoma State series was pivotal for the rankings. But it's, yes, it's so interesting to look at how we're getting some really like top 5 matchups this already. And it's so exciting to watch.
I know the fact that the top 5 have shuffled so much this year is interesting, but yes, Stanford and Oklahoma State moving into the top 3 after series wins versus ranked opponents. Right. And the biggest movers have been Oklahoma State. They did move up 6 spots after that upset over Texas. And then Arkansas actually rose 5 spots to number 14 after they took the series from Georgia. And then Texas State and Boston also moving up to 20 and 21 respectively, which is interesting too. You know, they've been climbing up a little bit. And then a couple teams re-enter the poll after dropping out earlier this season. Northwestern, number 24, they took the series from Ohio State. Charlotte, number 25. They took the series from Wichita State in the American Conference. And so Kansas and Baylor have since dropped out. Whew, lots of stuff going on.
Totally. I think that the most interesting and probably what our viewers want to talk about is number 2. So Stanford being at number 2 and after and above Oklahoma State, after Oklahoma State takes 2 of 3 from Texas, Stanford takes 2 of 3 from Arizona, and one of which they got mercied by Arizona. So they mercy Arizona in Arizona in 5 innings. And then they come around the next day and Arizona mercies Stanford in 5 innings. So that's interesting to me is the fact that, Stanford gave up a run rule to Arizona and is still above Oklahoma State after Oklahoma State takes 2 of 3 from Texas. But Oklahoma State also had just lost one, to Kansas and then BYU the previous week. So I think that you're just kind of comparing losses at that point. But in my opinion, the bigger loss is Stanford getting a mercy run rule loss by Arizona, even though Arizona is a very tough team who is receiving votes and obviously is a very good team.
Totally. And you know what? Like, we had this question come up, right? Like, from our fans. So if we're looking at this, we see that Stanford's number 2. One of the questions that came up was exactly what you're talking about, Amanda. How was Stanford run ruled in their second game against Arizona, but jumped up to number 2? Like, this is something that came up. And I think you're right. We're looking at like other losses. I would say too, to add to your point, I feel like it's not just that Stanford moved up. It's actually more so that Texas moved down, if that makes sense.
You know, totally.
Yeah, they were number 2 and then they lost the series to Oklahoma State. So it's more so about them moving down. And I think if you also take a look at some of the other aspects to it, a run rule is not great, period. Like, they need to be able to win even when Nigel's not pitching, right?
Yep.
but it's the only time they've been run ruled this year. So it's not like it's a habit, luckily, for the Cardinal, but they still win the series too. Great and point. It is a ranked team. You know, Arizona was number 20 at the time. They're number 22 now in this week's poll. And just their six losses, five of them have been against ranked teams. The other thing is too, is Arizona can freaking hit. I saw them in person recently. They can hit the ball. They
absolutely
are, yes, they are in the top three in the pack in most offensive categories. Like they lead in walks, they're second in hits, runs, RBIs, average, on-base percentage. They're third in home runs and slugging. Like they are the real deal offensively. And I don't think we should, you know, overlook that either.
No, and I've loved watching Reagan Shockey, who's a standout freshman for them. I saw a play that she made it, which is also almost my play of the week this week. She made an amazing catch in deep center field and immediately threw out the runner at first for a double play, threw a bullet from deep center field that it was just a perfect throw to get that second out. But yeah, they have some young ones that play really well. Reagan, I think, is like the when I think of Arizona softball, I think of someone like Reagan Shockey, right? Like someone who just absolutely creates havoc with slapping and running the bases, just super fast, putting pressure on the defense, and then playing a beautiful center field too. So I know that Caitlin Lowe loves having someone like that back in a Wildcat uniform. Just someone that I think of OG Arizona softball, I think of a slapper who can do a lot of damage, puts pressure on the defense, can make some cool plays. And that's Reagan Shockey. And she's making her impact known right away, which is so fun to watch.
Yeah, I feel like the way you just described her is how we would have described Caitlin Lowe herself.
Yes.
Right? Which yeah. Like you're saying, it's like, yeah, makes sense, right? It's on brand.
Totally. So fun to watch.
The other thing I'll say too is because we talked about our Diamond Sports rankings that came out recently. We issued our first one and they're updating. And, you know, as of the time that we're recording this, I want to throw out there too that Stanford's number four overall in DSR. And so if you're looking at the other folks in the top five, Texas is number five, OSU is number six, Duke is number nine. So those are the other ones outside of Oklahoma who's number one. That are in our DSR rankings. So that also kind of translates into where Stanford's at potentially. They're also number five overall in strength of schedule, and that's 22, 14, and 70 respectively with Texas, OSU, and Duke. So if we're just looking at the top five, like and how it all lays out, and if you do want to compare that to RPI, since we know that DSR is essentially our more sports specific alternative to RPI that really looks at things that affect softball and baseball and our diamond sport the most. If we're thinking about that from like the formula perspective, Stanford's also number two overall in RPI just behind OU. So just throwing some of that out there too, in terms of the data that we have in our hands, thanks to our friends at 643 Charts who developed it all with us.
I love it.
All right. Another thing that came up is why are Charlotte and Boston over Auburn? Thought this was an interesting question.
Yeah, I think that Charlotte and Boston have had amazing years, especially for those mid-major schools. It's so hard to like prove yourself. You really have to be nearly perfect. And I think they've absolutely done that. I mean, Charlotte consistently is having these big wins against Power Five schools. They match up with Duke today, which I'm really, really excited to watch. I think that Charlotte has just absolutely shown up to every game ready to play, no matter what team or program is in the other dugout. But I think both of them have just proven themselves like they are a force to be reckoned with and should not be taken lightly just because they are a mid-major. And they are just absolutely showing up against these Power Five schools. And I think Auburn's been a little bit shaky, right? I think that they obviously have the luxury that they are facing more of a competitive schedule throughout the whole year rather than Charlotte and Boston. And I don't know that they have been super reliable or consistent with the way that they've competed. So in my opinion, Charlotte and Boston have just had a better body of work so far.
I think consistency, you're definitely right. I'm with you there. And you mentioned it, Charlotte, they've beaten a ranked at the time that they played them, Florida State, Kentucky, Virginia Tech. They're 8-4 in their conference. They won a couple of series, including against a good Wichita State team, right? So there's that aspect for Charlotte. And then Boston's 27-4. Like, they were undefeated to start the Patriot League. They've beat Charlotte themselves twice as well. I think on the flip side, you could argue, okay, well, Boston did lose to the other ranked teams they faced, like a Duke, a Northwestern at the time, a South Carolina. So you can take that into consideration. You could take into consideration that Charlotte's like 21-13, and they did get run ruled by Florida State after they beat Florida State in game one. They're number 41 in DSR. So, like, I could see those arguments, but at the same time, to your point, I think body of work is what pushed them over the edge here into the top 25. And Auburn hasn't won a conference series yet. Of course, it's the SEC, right? So it's incredibly, incredibly like competitive, but they're 3-9. They are the top 25 in DSR too. So I think, you know, if they make some changes, you know, and start making a bigger impact within conference play, like, they're a team to consider still. They're a team to look at every week and see, like, oh, does it make sense to put them in? But as it stands right now, which is what the rankings are every week, as it stands right now, this is where it shook out. Man, always interesting questions, I feel like, that come in, you know? The top 25 is always a conversation starter.
Totally. And you keep, I mean, they just are ever changing too, I think, because of what great matchups we're seeing and just how our competition has just began to level out, which is so exciting for our sport. It's just creates that much more changes throughout the week, throughout the weeks on the top 25 polls. But yeah, what matchups did you love the most this weekend? Let's get into that.
I know. Well, I think we, you know, we mentioned it because we have to, right? Oklahoma State and Texas. It's funny because, you know, we get a lot of tweets because the whole D1 staff, I think, picked Texas to win in our weekly picks that we do at Chinook Seedery. And I got a lot of like OSU fans being like, how do you feel about this decision now? And like all these tweets. And I'm like, I kind of love that though. Like, I don't mind being wrong. I love when a team like takes their destiny into their own hands. So to see Oklahoma State do that against like one of their rivals, right? Like within the Big 12, especially in the last year that they're going to be, Texas will be in the Big 12. I think it's fun. And the fact that Lexi Kilfoyle just crushed it. I mean, two shutout wins against a team like Texas, big time players show up in big time moments. And I think that's why she's our D1 national pitcher of the week this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, such a fun series to watch. And I think also with those D1 softball picks, so fun for the athletes to kind of use that as billboard material too, right? Like, looking at who is picking against them and, you know, it's fun. It's fun to prove people wrong. And I know that we can say as much as we want to that rankings don't matter, but still, like, the athletes are interested, and I'm sure that they looked at them and were thinking like, oh, like, really? Like, watch what we can do, which is so exciting. I mean, even me, I don't vote in the polls, but every time Jenna and Justin pick against the Gators, I'm in our side chat telling them, yeah, oh, just wait. And, you know, like, I love it. Like, I love, like, talking back and making it more of a conversation, but that's just what makes it so fun and so fun to like talk about the matchups and hype them up. And, you know, like, that's, so many people are excited about softball and want to know, you know, what everyone thinks. So it's just fun, but it's so awesome to see how passionate fans are to let you know when you're wrong.
Which is, again, I'm good with that. Yeah. Right. Like, yeah, we kind of signed up for it too, but also like, yeah, like, let's talk about it. The way that we talk about men's sports, right? It's like, where people are getting just as passionate about softball, but also even like women's March Madness going on. And well, now it's April, but like, you know, we're so going cool into the Final Four, stuff like that. It's like, yep, let's do it, you know? So yeah. Yes.
I love it.
What else did you like,
gosh, from this past weekend? You know, I have a lot. I loved how Arkansas went there to Athens and took 2 of 3 from Georgia. Super impressive to see the way that Arkansas competed against a really, really good Georgia team. And Arkansas now has Danielle Gibson on their staff, who obviously, she's an Arkansas alum, but she was on staff last year at Georgia. So I'm interested to know how much impact she had on that and what information she was relaying and how that could have impacted the games. But Bree Ellis with another huge, huge weekend, big home runs and big moments. Hannah Gamble had a huge grand slam in the final game of the series to kind of seal that win, which was a pretty big win for them run wise. And so, yeah, that was super fun to watch because I think that when the season started, there was a lot of hype around Arkansas and what we thought that they were able to do and thought that they were going to be probably better than their record has shown and how they've competed. So it was fun to kind of see what we all thought was going to be of this Arkansas team. And they did a great job kind of proving, like, obviously this is just the evolution of this team in this year of proving like, oh, we're actually better than the way that we've been playing. We knew we were going to be like this, and what a momentum shift for them and how they can still get the ball rolling. There's so much season left for them to prove themselves and keep winning the games. But that was fun and refreshing to watch, even though, you know, I've been such a big fan of the way Georgia has played this year.
Yeah, and it's easy to be, but you're so right. I feel like now is kind of a turning point too. Like, we're halfway-ish through the season. So yeah. It's kind of like, well, how are people going to steer into this the rest of the way? And to see an Arkansas like step up is a good sign for them as a program, right? So you're right. And also, well, one of my favorite things is just when alums go back and coach at their alma mater. Yeah. I just think it speaks to them, to the program, to the coaching staff, to everyone when that happens. But also, like, they're so competitive if they've coached somewhere else. So like last year, right, you mm-hmm. said Danielle Gibson was with Georgia. She, you know, she wants to be beat Arkansas more than anyone else, right? Like last year. And then you switch gears to kind of being back in that Razorback mindset. And it reminds me of just conversations I've had with other people. Even I interviewed Kate Drohan recently, Northwestern's head coach. And she was saying, you know, when they play Purdue this year with Jordan Rudd, who's on staff there, she's like, I'm a little nervous. You know, I'm going to be a little extra that week when that happens. And I think that stuff's just fun. It's like also an extra
totally.
Layer to it. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then my next favorite to watch was the Florida Mississippi State series. It was a really crazy series. And I know that Mississippi State has had some huge wins and has been playing really, really well this year. And we saw that in their series with the Gators. Florida ends up taking that series, winning games on Friday and Saturday, but Mississippi State took game one. And I think Florida was up by six or seven runs in the sixth inning. And Mississippi State came back to score seven runs to win that game 13-12. What a dagger for the Gators, but what an amazing kind of what a performance by Mississippi State to fight until the end at their home ballpark, win the opening game of the weekend. And that was a crazy series. They were all close games. Florida won the second game 8-5 and then won the third game 7-6. So it was really competitive, and really fun to watch. But a little bit, I was biting my nails the whole time too.
And those are the best. You're totally right about that. And I so respect that. It reminds me of like in postseason when Washington scores seven runs in the seventh inning, you know, and continues
so
their
cool.
journey, right? Like things like that. And you actually just reminded me too, along the same lines of what you're talking about. So this was actually the weekend before last. It was Arizona playing at Cal. I was on the call for that. It happened the weekend before last. We haven't had a chance to talk about it yet though. But it was so exciting. It was very similar, you know, in game two, Cal tied it up, scoring five runs in the bottom of the seventh. They go to extras because of three home runs, like Acacia Anders, Tiana Bell, Elon Butler, right? And they did it at home in front of their fans, like you're saying as well. And I think it's just like that extra level of, I don't know, just competitiveness. It's like they're dogs, you know, like they really are.
Absolutely. And I think the last thing that I was just interested in general is Clemson. I think that starting the season, we had them really high. I mean, they're returning the reigning national player of the year in Val Kegel. But they've had some questionable losses this year, especially as of late. They lost two of three at Virginia, which going in, I would have expected Clemson to sweep Virginia, and they lose two of three. Then they host Boston College at home and drop one to Boston College. They lost to Furman last night. Just a little questionable. I know that Val Cagle was sick the North Carolina weekend. They ended up sweeping that weekend, but she was not even in the dugout. Just kind of question, like, they have a lot to figure out, obviously, and they have not hit their stride yet. I know that there's a lot of potential there. And when they do, they could kind of get the ball rolling. I mean, obviously, Val Cagle is such an amazing athlete and can impact the ball on both sides, both in the circle, at first base, and with the stick. So, I mean, she can do some incredible things, but it is questionable. I think, like, in the beginning of the year, when I just, in my mind, said who I think the top eight will be and who's going to make it to the College World Series, like, I was thinking this was Clemson's year to kind of make something happen. Val's senior year has a lot of experience, and not saying that's off the table at all. There's still so much season left and they're able to do, but definitely wanted to chat about, they've had some big losses. What a huge win for Furman, a local, yep, local school coming into Clemson, which is like the big school on the side of the state, and winning, like, such a huge pivotal game for their program, really, in general, winning that game. They've been around longer than Clemson has in their program, but Clemson, you know, the bigger name. So coming in and winning a game, I mean, their reaction was pretty awesome.
You're right. I also kind of had Clemson. I thought this might be their top eight. And to your point, it still could be. But just where we're trending right now. Also, Florida State, I think, because they got so far in the Women's College World Series last year, people were thinking of them highly within the ACC too. And again, not to say they're out of it, because especially that program is just never out of it. But it seems like Duke has really kind of, like, just kept getting better and better as the season has gone on. And I'm interested to see them kind of atop the ACC at the moment. Just to your point, I think that's really interesting as well. And you said it too, we're talking about Val Cagle. So it reminds me of, you know, pitchers who hit, hitters who pitch, whatever you want to call it. So I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't bring up in that Stanford Arizona series, the fact that Nidrie Kennedy hit her first collegiate home run, and bomb. In addition, right? Bomb. And it was like a Nidrie stomp, but this time offensively. And she was so fired up. It was just fun, right? And she's also the Pac-12 Pitcher of the Week, by the way, in addition to, like, having that offensive moment. So I saw so many funny tweets where it's like, we have to worry about her in the box too, not just circle. What's going on? It's not fair. She has so much power too. Like, every time I've ever seen her hit BP, I'm like, oh my gosh. Like,
I mean, and are we shocked? Like, anybody who can throw above 70 for seven innings, that much velocity, like, she's obviously a very, very strong girl. Like, she knows how to use her legs with authority. So it's so cool to see her impact the ball another, and just the excitement that it brings too. So cool. So fun to watch.
Totally. Yeah. That energy for sure. I think the last one for me in terms of the matchups we saw, Maryland and Penn State. It was fun. I mean, so Courtney and Bridget in the circle, like, that makes a big difference. Like, Courtney threw over 22 innings in about 48 hours. Like, that's a lot. And she had a career high 19 strikeouts in 9 innings and a 2-hit shutout for game one. That was Bridget's first collegiate loss too in that game. They went head to head. She also, Courtney, threw relief in game two. They did lose that one, but then she threw 11 and a third innings in game three, 17 strikeouts. Wow. They lost that one too, and then Penn State ended up winning. But she's thrown 9 or more innings 4 times in the last month. I was just like, wow, that's
impressive.
Yes. And then, to be fair, Bridget did also throw 6 innings in the 1-hit shutout to take the series too in game three. But both of those teams played 28 innings in 3 games in about 48 hours. So they essentially played 4 games worth in 3 games because they went to extras twice. That's like, that was just intense. Like, if they play each other in the Big Ten tournament, that's going to be fun.
Yes, I know that off day was much deserved. Those girls probably slept all day.
Seriously. And I can, like, man, I remember those days. Sometimes that is what you need, right? Like, sometimes we're like, oh, let's work on our game. Let's think about. Other times we're like, you know what? Sleep. Like, that is all we can do at the moment.
Sleep.
Oh, man. Yeah. Excited to see what else is coming up. And so for you, Amanda, like, what are you looking forward to that's coming up?
Okay, so I know the last time we did this, I had like the longest list. So my list is not as long this week, I promise you guys. But I mentioned it earlier. Excited about Charlotte at Duke today. I think that's going to be an awesome midweek matchup. McNeese plays at Florida State this week today. So we have the Torres sisters going at it, which is always a good matchup to see sisters going at it. And then for this weekend, Georgia at Tennessee. I think that's going to be an amazing, amazing series. Going to be super competitive. I'm excited to see the way that the pitchers compete against both like these really good offenses. OU is at Texas this week. I'm so pumped, like so fired up. Clear my schedule this weekend. Like I'm watching all three games, going to be locked in. Obviously, there's just such a layer to this, the rivalry. I think the Red River rivalry, it's so deep. Like, they really care. Like, even before, like, Texas was a top five team, like this,
yeah,
and OU was still as dominant as they are. It was such an intense rivalry. So I'm so excited to watch that. We're going to be very blessed with some really good games. And then lastly, giving some Pac-12 love, Washington plays at Oregon this week. Which I think that Oregon has been playing a lot better as of late and have been playing really good softball. Obviously, Washington has been consistently in the top 10 all year, and I've been a big fan of their team. So really excited to see them going at it. I know that there is a little bit of a rivalry there for sure. So those are the matchups I'm most excited for. What about you, Jenna? Hopefully I didn't steal any of yours.
Honestly, I'm pretty sure everything you just mentioned was on my list, which I feel like great minds think alike, right?
Yes.
So I'll just piggyback off of a couple because I'm with you, obviously, on these. So Washington, Oregon, I agree. You know, Washington's number two in the pack right now. Oregon's number four in the current standings. And it is kind of that existing Pacific Northwest rivalry. And the fact that they're both going to the Big Ten next year. So like this totally will be something we continue to see. So I think that's always exciting. And it's at the Jane, you know, and it's not totally easy to play Oregon. There's good energy there for the Ducks. But I mean, come on, you said it. We've been talking about OU Texas from the beginning when the schedules first came out, I feel like. And especially after Texas lost to their joint rival, essentially, with Oklahoma State. There's like a little extra chip on the shoulder, I think, right? So you don't want to lose to both Oklahoma schools in the same year. Like, that's not
good. Little wake-up call for them.
Exactly. And they're the only two teams who have been number one this year.
Yeah.
Right. And Texas for like a hot second, but still. So I agree with you. They'll both go to the SEC together too. So that's also going to continue. But you said it with the SEC, the Georgia-Tennessee top 10 matchup. I would add Mizzou and Arkansas. Because it's number 11 with number 14, right? It's top 15 matchup. And I feel like these ranked matchups are pretty like evenly distributed. Like with Georgia, Tennessee, like that's pretty, they've both been like up in the higher ranks of the top 25 throughout the season. Then Mizzou and Arkansas have kind of been in that middle portion, holding it down for a while too. So, and in addition to Charlotte Duke, you mentioned that one. It's a local week for the Blue Devils. Like, I'm actually pretty interested in seeing North Carolina play at Duke as well. Obviously, Duke's number five. They've been highly ranked all season. But I think UNC's on the rise. You know, they've almost hit last year's win total already this year, and they've won a few series. I also think anything can happen in a rivalry sometimes. So, Duke's just got some of the local matchups going on this week, which I think is interesting. Yeah. Last one I'll mention is giving some Big Ten love. The top four in the current standings are all playing each other this weekend. So Michigan and Northwestern. I got to see Ashley Miller pitch in person in Mary Nutter. And then they were obviously also in Clearwater. So I think that's going to be interesting. Northwestern back in the rankings too. Like they're on a good path right now. And then Penn State, we talked about their series against Maryland, but they're going to play Nebraska. And so they have, even though, you know, yes, Jordy Ball has been out this season due to her injury and things, you know, Nebraska's still been, they've been fighting for a while within the Big Ten. And they have folks like Billy Andrews as well too. So I think, you know, the top four going at it, always going to be interesting as well.
So fun to watch.
Man. Every time I'm like, oh, Our lists are so long. Do you? I also always like, I have a list and I end up shortening it because I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to take up like literally 3 hours talking about it.
Yeah, honestly, like I tried to do that 2 weeks ago with how long my list was. And I was like, there's too many good games. Like I have to talk about every single one of them.
Yeah, like, sorry about it. It is what it is.
I love it.
Oh, man. Well, we also had some really fun plays of the week also.
I love it. Gosh, this one was a hard one for me. I had two like huge favorites, but I feel like I've taken a couple weeks off of the offense plays of the week for me. So I had to give a little offense love next. So I'm going to play mine first and then talk about it. Oh, so good. So for those of you listening and not watching on YouTube, Taylor Pleasance had a huge walk-off home run against A&M to win the first game of that series. And A&M has played really good softball this year. Really, really good. So the fact that LSU hosted them and swept A&M was huge. But God, so cool. Taylor Pleasance, I loved that angle of her with a super, I'm not the biggest fan of the bat flip, but that was like such a fun bat flip. Just looking at her team, like so fired up. They just won the game. Like so exciting, just in pure celebration instead of like, look at me. Like it was just the coolest thing to watch. Like you could tell, like it was just so infectious. I had a huge smile on my face watching that video. Taylor Pleasance is so fun to watch and such a good human. So cool. I just loved it. And that angle is just so good. Like you can pick out a new person each time watching the video and get excited just with how crazy it is of everybody getting so pumped. But I loved it. Such a huge play.
You nailed it. Also, like the bat flip situation, just looking directly at her team. Every time I ask somebody, like a coach or anyone I interview, like, hey, what do you think of bat flips? They're always like, well, if it's done right. And I feel like this was done in a very authentic way, like you're saying.
So perfect. Like it was just so celebrating her team and the win, like not like pimping it and looking at the other team in the stare down. That's just not my favorite, but like, yeah, this was so cool. Like, yeah, so much passion, so fun to watch, like so fun to watch.
Yes. Also, like I'm a defensive girly, right? And knowing how great Taylor Pleasance is defensively and then seeing her have an offensive moment, like just love that for her.
So cool. So cool.
Well, I took a page out of your book too. You're getting back to your offensive roots, Amanda. I actually couldn't decide, and it's the same game, same team, that I couldn't decide between a defensive play and offense, but I did go with offense eventually. So I'll play it and then we'll talk about it.
2-0 pitch ripped to right field. Going back, it's gone. That's a home run for Gray. And Nebraska is back on top with that rocket shot there to the opposite field.
Sidney Gray with an absolute power hit to right field.
127 for her career. Now Tokan gives this one a ride. Left field and deep. And it's gone. Back-to-back jacks for the Huskers. And they're on top, 7-3 now.
When it rains, it pours for the Nebraska Huskers.
So, first of all, people might be like, wait, there's two things I'm looking at. Why do they look the same, but they're wearing different uniforms? Like, what's going on here? Literally, back-to-back home runs from the same two players in back-to-back days. So, Nebraska's Sidney Gray, as well as Talia Tokheim, hit these back to back. So we got to see both, literally one on top of the other, both games. It was deja vu essentially. So I love how they did that too, because the moment itself is pretty epic. Like the fact they even did this against Wisconsin was awesome. So but then cool, like the side by side clips, I was like, oh, this just makes it even better.
So good.
And also, by the way, Gray, Sydney Gray, is the third baseman. That was the other play that I almost picked because she actually, it was so awesome. I changed my mind last minute. Amanda knows this, I think, in our text chain. But like, I saw her at third base, literally pick up the ball, tag the runner coming from third. Just so much great awareness. So just go to Nebraska's Twitter to look at that as well, because it was so good. But again, another player having a great defensive and offensive moment. Like, I just love when people have it going on both sides of the ball.
So fun.
So fun. All right. I think now it's time, as usual, for our wins and whiff of the week.
I'm going to lead us off with our win of the week this week. So the FAU is giving us some fun things to watch on social media. I'm going to play that now. So fun to watch them just do like stupid things in the dugout, playing limbo in there. And I love how they're raising the bat for certain girls that come through. They know their strengths and who can raise it and who can't. So it's just fun to watch. And obviously I also love that like No Context College Softball was the one that posted it. Like, if you guys don't follow No Context College Softball on Twitter, give them a follow. They post just like funny stuff that happens throughout broadcasts or even just like behind the scenes videos, but so funny. And their head coach is giving them some love also, just saying how much fun they're having. So I just love that. Love getting a little sneak peek. It's about what happens inside the dugout and not just what happens on the field.
I love that their head coach is the one who like, oh, I'm going to reshare this because we love it. It's so funny. Like, I agree. And then also, you know, whenever I'm like a color analyst on a game and my play-by-play partner will ask me all the time, like, so what do you talk about like in the dugout or during breaks or in between things? Like, what's going through your head? Like, what are you guys up to? And sometimes it is like serious, right? Like, you're thinking through adjustments and things, but other times it's like, you're just trying to stay loose. And this is the type of stuff that you do.
Like, I'd say 80% of the time, like, not serious. Like, you have to be having fun.
Yeah. Like, that is actually the key.
At the end absolutely.
Okay. Great one. And so for the whiff of the week this week, we're going to take a look at a UCF, and I'm just going to show it and then we'll talk about it.
This girl's going to finally admit something after sneaking out this little bunt, getting the first base, hustling down the line. Coach says, was it you? Yeah, it was me. Laughs, turns to her teammate on second, totally farted. I was pretty sure it was you.
so good.
I laughed out loud when I saw this. First of all, also John Boy Media sharing it has like hundreds of thousands of followers, so just like,
yeah,
love that for softball. Even if it is this
so funny,
a literal whiff of the week too.
Literally literal whiff, like, so funny.
Yes. On the one hand, I'm like, oh, kind of savage, like, to call her out, right? For him and for me, honestly. But on the other hand, I'm like, you know what? She got a beautiful bunt base hit out of it. So if I'm her, I'm kind of like, sorry, I'm not sorry. You know, like, so whatever. Funny.
Yeah. No, it's so funny. I love that it's on camera. Like, I know that their team thinks that this is like the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
Along with all of us.
Yeah. And because it's like, no shame, just laughs. So good. Yeah. Love it. Oh my gosh. Wow. I mean, again, so much going on as usual.
Yes.
It's really fun though. I think we love doing this every week because every time I think like, well, what could possibly like, what else could we talk about? Like, what new thing could happen? There's always something, not only something, but multiple things.
Yep. Always so fun to talk about all the matchups, and so thankful that all these programs are just being, they're so fun to watch. So therefore it's so fun to talk about.
Exactly. And in terms of what's next, so I am back in Palo Alto this weekend for Arizona State playing at Stanford. The series is going to be on Pac-12 networks. And then also the midweek game on Wednesday that Fresno State will be at Stanford. I'll be on Pac-12 Network for that as well. So lots coming up that I am excited about. What are you going to be up to, Amanda?
I already gave a preview. Like, this weekend is all about me being on my couch and watching these amazing matchups. But I promise you, I will not miss one pitch of the OU Texas matchup. I am so excited to be watching and have a full breakdown and all my thoughts ready for next week.
Yes. Oh, cannot wait. Cannot wait. And if you guys haven't yet, subscribe, rate, review the show. Let us know what else you want to hear from us about, because we love chatting with you every week. So as usual, thank you for joining us.